Welcome back. We want to take a look at gender selection in the United States. These are American parents using a couple of medical procedures to choose the gender of their child. And interestingly, most Americans who do this are choosing girls. Jasmeet Sidhu wrote about gender selection for the online magazine Slate. She joins us from Toronto, where, Jasmeet, this is not legal. It's not legal in Canada?
Yes, this procedure is not legal in Canada, which I found really interesting.
Yeah, but is legal in the U.S. So first, just take us through the two basic techniques. There's sperm sorting and PGT, which is pre-implantation genetic diagnosis. This was developed to keep couples at risk from passing on genetic diseases like Huntington's or Down's, and it works with embryos outside the womb, and now these parents are using this procedure to choose the gender of their child. So explain how that works.
After an egg is fertilized in the lab and an embryo is created, scientists can take this embryo, stain the chromosomes, and then examine the chromosomes to see if there are any sort of mutations to be able to prevent selecting embryos that have certain diseases to being passed on to the next generation. Mm-hmm. So that's what this technology was originally designed for. But then some doctors started, you know, coming around to the idea that, hey, we're looking at these embryos. We can see which ones are XX, which ones are XY. As you know, XX ones lead to baby girls, XY ones lead to baby boys. And slowly, as the 1990s progressed, and it really took off in 2000, it became the sub-industry in fertility clinics around the United States as an elective procedure for parents who just, for no other health reason, to want to be able to choose the sex of their baby.
So these parents are going through this procedure. The embryo is put back in the mother, and she has the child that they've chosen. Sperm sorting, how does that work?
They kind of separate the sperm, the X sperm, X-carrying sperm, which leads to girls, from the Y-carrying sperm, which leads to boys, using different methods, but it has not always been fully accurate. It's been maybe about 60% accurate, 70%, 80% accurate. What was really revolutionary when the PGD technology came along was if, you know, you can exactly look at the embryo and get 100% accurate prediction on what the gender will be once you implant the embryo. So that was the big leap in sort of this story of gender selection. You go from having a 70, 80% chance of choosing the gender that you want to 100% chance of PGD.
And how expensive is it?
I spoke to about 25 clinics that do this, and the average price is between $15,000 to $20,000 for this procedure.
So it's not cheap. So people really, really want to do this. Why? You met a couple of moms who really wanted to do this and really wanted to have girls. What was their thinking?
Yeah, it was really interesting speaking with a lot of these women. The prototype for the women that I spoke to was, you know, they were in the early 30s, you know, middle class, had maybe a couple sons already, one, two, three. I think I spoke to one woman who had five sons. And they just expressed to me their fears that they didn't want to be the isolated female in their family. I guess they really felt that by having a daughter, there was someone else in the family that they could relate to. And actually, I heard the story many times that sons, they go off with their wives and start new families, but a daughter is a daughter for life that will always be there for you, that will always take care of you. So it was interesting that, you know, they were just afraid of being isolated. And then there was the flip side, in that a lot of these women, I guess that they were, you know, a bit more feminine. They were wanting to engage in more stereotypical female activities with their daughters. Pink dresses, princesses, that whole entire stereotypical female world they desperately wanted to engage with.
Well, this was fascinating to read because several decades ago, you could do the same research and I think you'd come up with women wanting boys more than girls. It was more the way it is now in other countries, China and India, where we know that female fetuses are more often aborted so that women can have boys for various cultural reasons. So that was kind of thrilling to hear that a girl is so valued. But what about the ethical questions this raises? You might have a girl because you think you impose certain stereotypical thoughts on her that she's going to want to, you know, have tea with you and wear frilly dresses. And what if the girl doesn't?
Exactly. I think one of the ethicists that I quoted in the article was like, what if your daughter wants to grow up and play basketball? You can't return her. So that's definitely one of the concerns that the American Society for Reproductive Medicine has mentioned. Now, they're not a fully regulatory body in the United States, but they do provide ethical guidelines, and they don't outright restrict using PGD for gender selection, but they do caution it. And one of the reasons that they do caution it is that they do see potential harm for parents imposing gender ideas onto a child that, you know, has no idea that their gender was selected out for them.
What about concerns about gender imbalance? Now, this has come to be called family balance for families that want to balance the number of children they have. But what about a gender imbalance nationwide if people can choose? We know that there's already a gender imbalance in China.
When I did my research, I came up with a figure about maybe about 4,000 to 6,000 of these procedures are using PGD purely for gender selection. And now that's not including all the sperm sorting methods and all the other different ways women and families try to sway the gender. But we're not looking at a very high impact in the United States, enough that would balance the ratios in the United States as it has done in China, India, particularly with gender-based abortions. This is still a very growing and new phenomenon, but many doctors that I did speak to feel that as this procedure is becoming normalized and as people are starting to learn that this procedure is becoming available and it's becoming slightly more cheaper, they feel that this is the decade that it's really going to take off.
Well, what about the traditional ethical question that's always raised when you talk about any kind of genetic work? We mentioned that PGD came about so that parents could choose not to pass on serious disabilities, serious illnesses. And that always raises the concerns of the disabled community.
One of the doctors that I spoke with in the article, Dr. Jeffrey Steinberg, he's the founder of the Fertility Institutes in Los Angeles, California. When I was speaking with him, he mentioned that in 2009, so a couple of years ago, he had announced on his website that, you know, couples can not only choose the gender of their baby, they can choose the baby's eye and hair color. As you can imagine, there was this, you know, media firestorm that really spread around the world, and he actually received a letter from the Vatican just quietly requesting him to stop and not, you know, take this technology to the next level. And Steinberg, you know, listened to the Vatican and just kept the technology for use in gender. So it is very possible to do these kind of decisions right now, but it feels that overall there seems to be a hesitancy to really leap from choosing the gender to really, you know, other ways of so-called designing your baby.
Well, but is there any thinking that, well, that was nice that he decided not to do it, but maybe there should be regulation, maybe there should be more, you know, laws?
PGD is legal in the United States. It's not legal in many other countries, but it remains legal here. There are many doctors who feel that the real slippery slope is regulating reproductive medicine of any kind. From there, what else can you regulate? A lot of doctors just feel if you have the money and you're willing to pay for it, you should be able to design and create your family any way that you want.
Well, it's fascinating. Jasmeet Sidhu wrote about gender selection for Slate. We'll post it at hereandnow.org. Fascinating. Jasmeet, thanks so much.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
So your thoughts, slippery slope or answer to your prayers? And according to a 2009 study, 70% of Caucasian moms chose girls in this process. I'm wondering if, unlike 40 years ago when research showed parents preferred boys, these post-women's movement moms value themselves more. Let us hear your thoughts. hereandnow.org.